It's Monday morning. I hope you're having a great Monday morning here with me on His Time. Hope you're enjoying the sacred music to start your day in a great way. We have our conversation with Dr. Bob Weiss on the way, our study of the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Duncan McLellan from Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. That coming up during the 8 o'clock hour, morning prayer as well. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsors on this Monday, May 16th, 2016. Today's day sponsors are Gary and Christine Gruber. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in thanksgiving to the Lord for the blessing of 35 years together as they celebrate their wedding anniversary tomorrow on May 17th. Once again, we say thank you to Gary and Christine Gruber of Bloomington, Illinois. Today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsors.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO has been listener-supported since 1924, teaching the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for our sins, and witnessing to the world about God's mercy. We are on AM 850 in St. Louis, and a click away 24 hours a day at kfuo.org. If you have questions about donating, you can email us, gifts@kfuo.org.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday morning. That means we get to check in with our friend, Dr. Bob Weiss. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners.
Good morning.
It's going to rain again.
It is raining. We've got rain, looks like, for the next day and a half, next 2 days, really, today and tomorrow.
I think we should all go to the Creation Museum where they're building Noah's Ark and see if it really works.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy out driving around this weekend, and some of the roads out around where we were driving around Jefferson County, the water is almost up to the road again. I'm sure for many who endured the who were affected by the floods this winter, creates much anxiety for them as well, I'm sure.
Well, you know, when we have all of this rain, I'm always reminded of I was thinking about this earlier this morning about Isaiah 55, and I'll just include some snow too, but the Lord says, as the rain and the snow come down and water the crops and the grasses and accomplish those things, and so my word, when it comes down, does not return unto me empty. So a lot of people that are thinking, I wonder if the Lord's really hearing my words and is it really accomplishing the purpose for which he sent it? And, of course, this has to deal with Jesus. And I think that one of those comforting words is, of course, when Jesus came down, the Word made flesh didn't return empty, but accomplished the purpose for which he sent him. And of course, we're now in Pentecost with the work of the Holy Spirit. And I had a person in Bible class, and they said, well, now this Holy Spirit, you know, he came onto the heads of the apostles. And now I'm kind of wondering what's going on here, because I thought that, does that mean the Holy Spirit wasn't with him before? I said, no. Now, the Holy Spirit has lots of functions and does a lot of things, and especially bringing people to faith. So anyway, that's kind of what it is. I want to bring up something we have talked about, and I think it's been in the Wall Street Journal several times, and I'm not sure how one really should address this again. We do this over and over again, and it really, really concerns me. And that is this whole issue of the transgender stuff that's going on, certainly in North Carolina. But now, since the president has entered into the fray with his decree, that, in fact, I have that in front of me, and I realize your listeners have heard us talk about this before, but, yeah, there are other things that are happening in the world. There's more stuff on euthanasia. They're trying to get that done in Michigan. This whole issue of gene editing has been coming back up again, called CRISPR. Sounds like something when you fight your bacon. You know, and I realize the people who are listening to this, I had one person say, you know, it just seems like all of this stuff is getting worse and worse in the world. And I said, well, you know, we're living in a fallen world, and it is what it is. And I think that in Colorado, I pulled up a statement earlier this morning that the United States Department of Education, of course, its guiding remarks to transgender students, talked about how Colorado is at the forefront of all of this. And it says here, luckily, Colorado has been on the right side of this issue since 2008, when the governor signed the Anti-Discrimination Act. And so, of course, at the White House, we have the transgender, the gender-neutral bathroom that was started. It's at the L.A. airport and it's other places. And having pulled up and studied what's called the examples of policies and emerging practices for supporting transgender students, it is something that our whole Bible class, actually Sunday, they said, what do we do about something like this? And I know you've talked about this with two physicians, especially Dr. Patella. And I don't know if you plan on getting into it again, but I think that this kind of situation requires us to once again to go back to the basics. And this is, of course, what his time and the other programs do so well, is to get people back to the basics of what it means to be human, and then go back to the incarnation, where, in fact, those who are supporting transgender, and I don't think they realize this, but the transgender community believes that Jesus was a hermaphrodite, that he actually had both sexes, and that Adam and Eve produced all of these gay and lesbian people that we have. And the ones that I have worked with, you know, they struggle with this, and we have to take a look at that from that viewpoint, that there are people that struggle with their sexual identity. But when you get into, and I want to mention two terms here that are out there, and it is biological birth sex, which is not a good term to use. I know they use that in North Carolina, biological birth sex, but your sex is not determined at birth. It's determined at conception, when the chromosomes from the male and the female sperm and egg get together. So it's really a conception identity sex, or conception sex identity sort of a thing. And I think people need to understand that when they get into this kind of language and words teach. And if we're not willing to use the right words, then I suspect that we're going to have to sort of change things and get back onto the regular issue of what God has created, male and female. So this is a huge issue, and I think that the CTCR, or the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I would encourage our listeners to go to lcms.org and type in transgender guidelines. They have a very good paper. It's just about three or four pages out on this, that will help people address some of these issues. So I just wanted to mention that this morning. I know we've talked about it, but the Wall Street Journal has had four articles in a row, well, I shouldn't say in a row, but in the last week of the six newspapers, four of those articles, four of those newspapers have talked about this. And so I've had questions on it. So I just thought this morning I would bring this up and just kind of have at it for a few minutes.
Have you seen the summary, the final rule implementing Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act? I believe it came out on Friday. What this does for hospitals, physicians, insurers, any health program or activity, any part of which receives funding from HHS, such as hospitals that accept Medicare or doctors who accept Medicaid.
No, I haven't seen that. I have the United States Department of Justice, what they call a dear colleague letter on transgender students, you know, that the president sent out. Plus, I have the Justice Department news, their immediate release that they sent out. But I have not seen that.
So now it goes beyond schools. Now it goes to those in healthcare and what they're requiring of them.
Yeah, and I think that this type of issue, I just kind of wonder, Andy, is this something that is going to hit, I guess, our Christian day schools in a way that if a parent has a child that comes in, you know, as John on Friday and comes in on Monday as Mary, and they say, "Do you have a bathroom we could use?" I suspect that there will be some people that will say that will never happen in a parochial school system, especially within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I would suspect that it will happen. I know that based on some of the students I've had in pastoral theology, they said this has happened in one of the Christian day schools, not in this area, but that they're familiar with. And the school wasn't really ready for it. And so I'm kind of wondering if, you know, how are we going to react to that type of situation? But the whole health situation, even though this is a decree, it's not law. Congress has to make this a law, so there's obviously political issues involved here. But I really think, you know, how would we work and deal with those people who have these struggles with their sexual identity? And I think I have mentioned this before, and you can call my memory if you would on this one. You know, Martin Luther said that the church is the infirmary for the sick. And it may surprise some of your listeners, but if people are having these kinds of issues, they need to get a hold of their pastor and contact the pastor. Pastors, I believe, can help and deal with this. Certainly deaconesses, DCEs, especially a DCE that's working with younger people. I really think these are issues that should be discussed. I'm not sure what, wouldn't you think that in youth groups, would you bring this up? Or would you just sort of set it aside and say, well, let's just wait and see what happens? Should we be more proactive or just reactive on this?
That's a tough question. I think being proactive is good, but there are times when we can be over proactive in a sense that we might be a bit too zealous in some things.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the issue. There's a phrase that people say, leave well enough alone. And I'm just kind of wondering, is this something that we, in our reaction to something like this, that we do not panic and say, oh my goodness, we better start dealing with something like this and really get overzealous with this? Or as opposed to, let's read and study about this, as you brought up the healthcare issue, let's find out what's going on. And let's see what certainly is coming out of Dr. Harrison's office and our Matt Day, and see what's going on with these guys and the Missouri Synod. What are they going to do to help us? But I really think that document that, and I don't have it in front of me right here at my house, that would be good for people to call up in the lcms.org website and type in transgender and read it. I think that would be a calming almost like an Advil, or I would call it a leave, that would be very helpful to them. So so that's one of those things that I just am kind of concerned, because people keep asking me about it, because we have people that read the newspapers and magazines, and they're saying, what's going on in this world? I said, it's the same problem we've had for a long, long time. We're living in a fallen world, and self is God, and human sexuality at this point in our lives, in this particular culture we're living in, really doesn't mean anything. And I think this harkens back to the sexual revolution of the 60s where a lot of this stuff really got started.
That certainly did open the door to a lot of the issues that we face today.
I think so. Yeah, I did. And I think that I know with we're sort of kind of locked and loaded with something like this. And I just think we have to go back to the catechetical basis that we grew up with and start to study this. Last week, I had a person call me and said, I heard you on the radio talking about all of these things that are going on in bioethics. They said, I just can't believe we're still talking about euthanasia and making babies in test tubes. And I said, well, that's exactly what's going on. And one of the areas that I have in front of me that I know we don't have a lot more time, but I think that this whole issue of gene editing and what they're starting to do with embryos is bringing back and resurrecting embryonic stem cell research. So this is going to resurface again, over and over again. And to digress just one more time before we close out here, I do think that this whole situation, when parents are looking at this, will probably open the door for people who want to leave the public school system and get back into the parochial school system. Because I know they have it here at Edwardsville High School. They deal with these transgender issues. Two young ladies that had confirmation have talked about it. And I think that maybe this is going to be a way for us to extend our Christian witness in the community, because we can speak to our human sexuality in Christ.
Sure. We want to be a faithful witness in all settings, in all situations.
All the time.
Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. God's peace, and we'll talk next week.
All right. God's peace to you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading, the daily lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Today, we'll study with Pastor Duncan McClellan, Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to His Time.